This content is for institutional investors and information purposes only. It does not contain investment, financial, legal, tax, or any other advice and should not be relied upon for this purpose. The materials are not tailored to your particular personal and/or financial position. If you require advice based on your specific circumstances, you should contact a professional advisor. Opinions expressed are those of the speakers as of the date of publication, are subject to change without notice, and do not necessarily reflect Mercer's opinions.
Hello, and welcome to Critical Thinking, Critical Issues. I'm Mark McNulty, Europe Wealth Leader, and today we're coming to you live from the Mercer Global Investments Forum in Dublin to discuss our theme for this year's forum, An Age of Agility. Over the past few years, investors have had to deal with a dizzying array of challenges. Rising inflation and interest rates, pandemics, and huge market volatility, to name a few. Unsurprisingly, those that weathered these storms best were investors that built agile portfolios. Some, with the ability to harness the opportunities in volatile markets, were able to generate some handsome returns. In today's episode, we'll be diving into the key findings outlined in our recent Themes and Opportunities 2024 paper. And to help us explore this topic, I'm joined today by my Mercer colleagues, Garvin McCarthy, Chief Investment Officer for EMEA and Asia, and Joe Holden, Global Head of Investment Research and Consulting. Let's jump straight in. Joe, what does an age of agility mean for portfolios?
Yeah, so look, we've categorised three themes under that main heading of age of agility. So we've got regime change, we've got super cycles, and we've got mega trends. Now, we're not going to go through everything that sits underneath all of that, but needless to say, sort of the overall point is there is a huge amount going on in a very complicated world. And what a, you know, age of agility is talking about the fact that there are lots of opportunities out there for investors to capitalise on if you can be agile. Now, the caveat there is that, you know, it's not easy being agile. You need to be disciplined and you need to have incredibly strong governance to be able to go ahead and sort of be agile and capitalize on those opportunities.
Great.
And maybe just adding to that, I think one of the key things we focus on from an implementation perspective is really thinking about appropriate diversification at that portfolio level. So considering emerging and developed markets as part of your opportunity set, and more importantly for investors these days, particularly considering both public and private markets as part of your total portfolio. Now, one of the pivotal things we've seen sort of shape investor considerations in recent quarters has been the changing shape of the efficient frontier. And what we really mean by that is that today's risk return outcomes for investors look a little different than they did 2 or 3 years ago, because the higher rates environment has meant that investors can now generate their expected target returns by taking perhaps materially lower risk. And that really is worthy of strategic consideration and for all investors really testing their risk return parameters versus their long-term objectives.
Great. One of the big topics in the Themes and Opportunities paper this year was around where capital can be most efficiently deployed. Joe, can you provide examples of that?
Yeah, I can. And I think I'd just maybe pick up on something that Garvin talked about there in terms of this changing shape of the efficient frontier. One of the things that we are absolutely not advocating is wholesale changes in people's portfolios. And I think you need to be clear about that when we're talking about agility and opportunities and how sort of things people ought to be doing exciting things. That said, there are alpha ideas out there that play into the themes that we're talking about. So we're talking about the fact that there's a huge amount of dispersion, dislocation going on sort of in the world. That's a great environment for active management, but also for hedge funds. And the hedge fund point, I think, is amplified when you start thinking about the fact that we're in a high interest rate environment where those types of strategies tend to perform better. Credit, Garvin sort of mentioned, but, you know, in the sense that there are real advantages, I think, to taking a very flexible approach within credit. But you can start to hear in the sorts of things that I'm talking about there that these aren't simple. We're almost kind of advocating doing things that are more complicated, which again goes back to that point about discipline and strong governance and really being prepared to do the sorts of things
kind of,
that we're talking
about.
Because
it kind of contradicts the whole area of agility. So it'd be great to just, could you expand on that a little bit more?
In the sense of, you can't good governance, I think, is crucial to making decisions. It's a huge part of being a fiduciary decision maker. And I think, you know, we are absolutely, and I couldn't be clearer, and I'm glad that you've asked to sort of clarify that we are not saying jump to this, jump to that. This is clever. This is absolutely not. But I also really like one of the terms that Garvin used a second ago, in the sense of that whole changing environment, it's an opportunity just to test what you're doing, which again, I think kind of in the context of a good governance framework should always be part of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that comes from lots of different ways of thinking about opportunity, from strategic asset allocation, as Joe just mentioned, but right through your decision-making, both in terms of dynamic decisions, manager appointments, and indeed where you actually look for that outperformance or alpha. You know, we believe in active management of a house as a house, and we also believe that the environment is quite good for that. But investors have constraints, and you can't capture all these opportunities, perhaps. So you need to focus on where you believe that active management will be most highly rewarded with most consistency, and spend your active management budget in those areas. So I think it's about testing and putting a framework in place to challenge decisions and then ultimately measure success for your stakeholders.
It's really interesting. And are you seeing asset managers respond to this theme?
Absolutely. You know, we've seen in many cases a broadening of investment mandates to be more nimble, right, and to apply that flexibility on behalf of clients with slightly broader investment mandates. So for example, you know, today's higher interest rate environments means that bonds are back on the agenda for many investors. And we believe in active management, particularly in areas like growth fixed income. Our preferred approach is an active one to that part of the market, because sub-investment grade credit or emerging market debt do carry with them higher potential defaults, downgrades, or indeed geopolitical risks. So active management's important, but recognizing that there is a breadth of opportunity most investors can't capture, our preferred approach remains multi-asset credit, where managers, skilled managers, can take that asset allocation decision on behalf of clients, look at high yield leverage loans or emerging market debt, and indeed offer that flexibility in a package that meets the client's governance and oversight requirements. So that's a really important way of capturing those broad opportunities.
Yeah, it's practical. And Joe, how should investors be thinking about megatrends? And is it a key consideration when building agile portfolios?
Yeah, I think it is certainly from an integration perspective. So maybe, you know, when we think about megatrends, we are thinking about long-term sort of themes that develop over many, many decades in some circumstances. A lot of the things we're talking about do naturally fit under a sustainable investment banner. Now, one of the things that we talk about, Garvin and I have talked about this at our Global Investment Forum in Dublin, and we discussed this whole idea about the fact that, you know, sustainability cannot sit in a box on its own. You know, put something in a box, you can ignore it, you know, if you're not sort of particularly interested. And I think, you know, we have a much better job to do of properly integrating financially material ESG factors into what we're doing. So yeah, no, absolutely, you're right. It's a huge part of the whole governance and sort of decision making process.
Yeah, and I think it's really important as practitioners and as an investment management community, we really do take this step to now integrate and not idolize or ideate this concept around sustainability. Mm-hmm. Putting it into your investment decision-making framework will be a critical measure of success. That comes back to when you think about investment opportunities, you know, perhaps you're considering a new asset class, let's say real estate. We're sitting in a lovely building here in Dublin today. Investors look for real estate to deliver certain risk return characteristics. But think about sustainability both in how you manage risk, how you're thinking about things like energy efficiency, the movement to green buildings, and integrating those financially material risks related to sustainability in your decision-making up front. Also thinking about how you capture value. Are you looking at the ways a capital flow will impact real estate markets? And finally, you know, one of the key governance points and where sustainability and indeed stewardship need to come in is how you gain exposure to that asset class. Hands-on direct ownership of private buildings, for example, like unlisted property, offers you maximum flexibility. But again, some investors will be constrained. So unlisted or indirect access via things like REITs or listed REITs can also be appropriate. So think about sustainability and integrate it in all aspects of risk, return, and governance.
Yeah, I was just going to say, actually, Garvin kind of led quite nicely into talking about sort of how we articulate our own investment philosophy. You know, all of the things that he said there are captured in, you know, I mean, a lovely little diagram we've put together with three pillars in there, but it's all about, you know, how do you integrate sustainability into governance, into rewarded risk, and also into sort of return maximization. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make there is that in prior iterations of our philosophy, we had sustainability as a separate item. But we think it's important, you know, we believe in that normalization point to the extent that we really do want to put it into each of the three pillars rather than separating it out now.
Great. Listen, we're at the Dublin Global Investment Forum, and we know our delegates consist of insurers, wealth managers, pension funds, not-for-profits. What's the one step that they should take as they leave the forum to coincide with the theme of our conference, an age of agility?
Oh, I think I don't want to steal Garvin's thunder, but I'm going to. So when we were on stage just now, he had this scorecard slide, which was fantastic, you know, in the sense that it's a nice, simple way of investors getting practical about what they're doing. You can lay out all of the steps that you ought to be taking when you're making a particular kind of investment decision. And it just gives that discipline and the governance structure that we've sort of talked about a lot if you are going to take advantage of those opportunities that are out there and be agile.
Absolutely. I think the last thing I'd say is one of those checkpoints on the scorecard was maximizing the opportunities that you can access. Challenge your constraints. Most investors think about liquidity horizons that may not be aligned with their long-term nature. Think about your fee budgets. Think about where you spend your active management and think about your governance. And if you challenge your constraints, you will open up more investment opportunities that will lead to better investment performance and long-term alpha in this fast-moving world.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe and Garvin, for your practical and fascinating perspective on how we should be thinking about the age of agility. And thank you all for listening. If you're interested in getting your hands on the themes and opportunities paper, or you liked this content and want to hear more, please do subscribe to our podcast.